Hey guys, Kyle back with Kyle Burrell's Unedited Podcast, episode number 133, sorry. Alright, so, obviously last weekend, did the podcast with my friend Parker, did the NFL draft stuff. Today we're going to be breaking down each NBA series, my predictions for the rest of the series. We're going to get into my QB tier rankings, post-draft projected starters. My NFC and AFC post-draft tier rankings. Then we got a lot of combat sports to talk about. Fury Usyk this weekend. And then just some other things to go over. We'll go over what's next after UFC Fight Night St. Louis. Just some other stuff to discuss on there. Then towards the end, I had a couple of dynasty drafts recently for fantasy football. So we're going to go over my rosters and my draft picks and where those are standing. And then we'll do official 1.0 2024 NFL mock draft. It will be lottery only, but the lottery was set today. The lottery was done today, so those picks were set. So we'll get into that also. But let's kick it off with NBA Conference semifinals over in the East. So we'll go game by game. Boston jumped out to a 1-0 lead on the Cavs with a 25-point win in Game 1, 120-95. Really just dominated that game. This series has kind of not been, like, ultra-competitive in a way. Cavs returned the favor in Game 2 with a 24-point win in Boston, knotting up 1-1, 118-94 to steal home court. But then in Game 3, the Celtics, they take home court back with a Game 3 win in Cleveland, behind 33-13 from Tatum, 106-93. That was probably his best game of the playoffs. I think Cleveland, Jared Allen being out has hurt them. I think they could use the size, because if they had Allen in the game, they'd be able to put Mobley on Tatum, which would help. I just don't think they have enough juice to beat them. I want to say the Cavs could get game four at home, but I honestly just don't see it. I think Boston takes care of business here in five. I think they're just a better team. I think Boston is the fifth best team left in the playoffs, though. But I think they're the best team in the East, because I think the other four teams in the West are the four best teams left. I think you got Nuggets, Wolves 1-2, and then you got Thunder, Mavs 3-4. I think the Celtics take care of this in five. I just think they're a much better team. And like I said, I just don't see them losing another one to Cleveland. Over in the Knicks-Pacers series, Knicks took game one. Behind 43 from Brunson. They did lose Mitch Robb, which hurt. They won that 121-117. Then they completed the second half comeback to take a 2-0 series lead. But OG went down with a calf injury. They were able to win that game, though, 130-121. But, man, they're beat up, and it's kind of showed, especially in today's game. But game three, Pacers make it 2-1. Haliburton went for 35. Deep game-winning three by Nimhard. They won that game 111-106 to make it 2-1. And then today, they even the series with a 32-point blowout win in game four, 121-89. Knicks might be in a bit of trouble. I thought that they would still be okay, but, man, losing going into the series, you're going in with, Mitch Robb and OG. Now it's likely they won't have Mitch Robb, and it's likely you don't have OG for the rest of the series. So they're in a tough spot. They need to win game five big time. Game five is the decider. I think if they win game five, they can win the series in seven. I think if they lose game five at home, the series is over, though, and that's what my prediction is. I think the Pacers go into New York game five and get the win. I think the Pacers win this in six and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Brunson's banged up, too. I just think it's a bad bit of luck here for the Pacers or for the Knicks. But yeah, I think the Pacers will go on to face the Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals. Over in the West, Thunder have a dominant fourth to take a 1-0 series lead on the Mavs, 117-95. Yeah, the game was pretty competitive, and then they just really put it on them in that fourth quarter. But then Dallas was able to steal home court to tie the series 1-1 behind 29 from PJ Washington. They won that game 119-110, and then Kyrie seals the game late as the Mavs go up 2-1. PJ goes again for 27. He's been tremendous these last two games. They won 105-101. I think the Mavs win this series. I'm going to say six. I think they win game four at home. I think OKC gets their win at home in game five. And then I think game six, Dallas closes them out to go to the Western Conference Finals. So this series, Minnesota and Denver, has been wild. It's like home court didn't even matter. Minnesota, They steal game one as Ant goes for 43. Then they dominate the Nuggets in game two to go up 2-0. Cat and Ant each score 27. Then game three, the Nuggets win in dominant fashion, making the series 2-1. And then tonight, Nuggets even the series in game four, with a game four win in Minnesota behind 35 from Jokic. Wild. No team wants to win at home, apparently. Bad for Minnesota. This was disaster for Minnesota to go to Denver and win both. And man, you don't even walk away with a split at home. I'm going to say Nuggets in seven. And that was my prediction from the get-go. And then I flipped when Minnesota won those first two games. I was like, oh, Minnesota's winning the series. Back to my original pick, Nuggets in seven. I'm going to go with that. I think they win game five at home. I think Minnesota wins game six at home. And then I think Denver closes it out at home in game seven. And then if I had to say, I go Celtics in five, maybe even four over the Pacers. And then I would go Nuggets in six over the Mavs. And then I would go Nuggets in six or seven, Nuggets in six over the Celtics to win the NBA title. Okay, so here we are, post-draft quarterback tier ranking. So here are my tiers. From the bottom, just know. I'm only going into the season with one just know. I'm gonna be open-minded. I have one guy at my low level and one guy at my top level. Everybody else in between. So it's just know, and then it's eh. Yeah, we'll see. You know, I'm not really a fan, but wait and see. So those are going to be your younger guys. Good. Quarterbacks I think are good quarterbacks. Elite level. MVP level. And Mahomes. Okay. So we're going to start at the top. And Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. There's such a big gap. I mean, what he was able to do in that postseason run. And don't get me wrong. The defense was the main reason they got to the Super Bowl and won it. Their defense was unbelievable. But, man, with that receiving core, what Patty was able to do, get his third Super Bowl. I just don't know how you stop the Chiefs. I know Rashee Rice has been a problem, but, you know, if you do lose Rashee Rice, at least you'd answer the problems a little. You signed Hollywood Brown and you drafted Xavier Worthy. You know, I could see them still bringing in another guy, if not trading for somebody, if Rashee Rice is out for the whole year. MVP level, I got four. I got Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, CJ Stroud, and Lamar Jackson. Those are my, outside of my homes, those are my top dogs. Josh Allen, I have some, we're really going to see how good of a quarterback he is with, you know, their top wideout is probably going to be a rookie and their tight end. So it's going to be interesting to see what he can do with, you know, no Diggs, no Gabe Davis. Khalil Shakir is going to need to take a step up. I believe they signed Curtis Samuel, I think. So that's a good pickup, though, but it's going to be interesting. Burrow coming back from an injury. He's got a lot to prove, but I'm not. Pete, I saw a Bleacher Report rank Burrow the ninth best quarterback in football. That is fucking ridiculous. There are not eight quarterbacks I can find that I'd take over Joe Burrow. That is ridiculous. CJ Stroud, season two, can he avoid the sophomore slump? They've put the weapons around him to do so. And Lamar Jackson, obviously. I mean, what are you going to say? Defending MVP? Still don't think he can get past Mahomes, but I think the Ravens are definitely the second-best team in football going into the year with acquisition of Derrick Henry. I think Lamar is going to have an outstanding year. Elite level, call me crazy, Caleb Williams. I'm going in year one. What am I going to do? Am I going to backtrack? I'm not going to backtrack. He's going to be great year one. Caleb Williams will be great year one. The Bears will make the playoffs. Aaron Rodgers, still my elite level. I want to see. I know that he didn't have a great last year in Green Bay, but last year he got injured and he's coming off that. I'm still going to give him a chance. I'm not just going to drop Rodgers for no reason. If he sucks next year, okay, we'll talk different. But going into the year right now, Rodgers is still my elite level. Dak Prescott, coming off a great season. Again, we just didn't get done in the playoffs. But that doesn't take away that Dak had a great season. Dak's a really good quarterback. Jalen Hurts, didn't have the greatest years last year. I think he will bounce back. I'm not super high on Hurts, but I still think he's a good quarterback. And then I got Matthew Stafford to close out my elite level. I still think Stafford's unreal. And I think that the Rams are going to be dangerous. I think they're a dark horse Super Bowl contender in the NFC. So my good category, a lot of quarterbacks here. Trevor Lawrence needs to bounce back. Kyler Murray got his wide receiver one. You know, so we'll see what happens there. They still have a lot to do, though. Deshaun Watson, a lot to prove. I'm hanging on the Deshaun Watson train that he's still very good. but I'm hanging on for dear life. He's got to show me something. Jared Goff, great year last year. Can he continue? Tua. Again, I think injuries have killed the Dolphins. I think Tua's had a really good last 2 years. He has some bad games, but I think Tua's been really good. Kirk Cousins. I think he's going to have a great year in Atlanta. Brock Purdy, plays for the Niners. Enough said. Baker Mayfield, I think he deserves to be in this category. He had a really good year last year, and I think that they can take even bigger step this year and be up there and be really good. You know, they won a playoff game. They dominated the defending NFC champions in that playoff game. Wait and see. J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix obviously will not be in here because I don't think they'll be projected starters. But I got Bryce Young. I'm not giving up on Bryce Young. Anthony Richardson, who I'm super high on. Will Levis. And then the other three rookies, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Bo Nix, who all, in my opinion, will be starters for their team. Maybe Drake May won't be, but I think Bo Nix and Jaden Daniels definitely will be. And then the category, Russell Wilson. I don't know if he can get back to being good again. Geno Smith, I've never been high on. Derek Carr, I think his time's coming to an end. Gardner Minshew, again, I like him, bridge quarterback. And I did not put Sam Darnold in just no, because I actually think they're going to give Sam Darnold a chance here. He's actually going to have weapons around him and a good offensive coach. I know he played with the Niners last year, but he wasn't a starter. I think Sam Darnold could actually be solid this year for the Vikings and let J.J. McCarthy learn. And then just no is obviously Daniel Jones. He'll stay there forever. I mean, just absolutely no. Get him away. All right, so my NFC post-draft tier rankings. Super Bowl bubble. I have Niners, Lions, Eagles. So I have three teams in the NFC in my Super Bowl bubble. Surefire playoff teams. I already have three here, which usually I like to only have two, and then playoffs, ? But I'm really high on some of these NFC teams. Cowboys, Packers, Rams, I think are surefire playoff teams. Playoffs, ? Really, that NFC South division, Falcons, Buccaneers, Saints, because I think all three of them definitely have a chance to win it. And then you got the Bears and the Seahawks. I do think the Bears, I'm still going to stick to the Bears will be a playoff team. I'm not going to put them in surefire, though. And then Seahawks. And then probably not playoff teams. I'm going Vikings, Cardinals, Commanders, Panthers. Panthers are very close to just get draft ready. That's where the Giants are. Get draft ready. Yes, we're not even the preseason or anything. And get draft ready. AFC post-draft NFL tiers. Super Bowl bubble. Chiefs and Ravens, that's it. Those two teams, in my opinion, yes. Surefire playoff teams. I got Texans, Jets, and Browns. I think the Jets, the Texans, will win their division. And I think the Browns will be another, they'll be a top wild card team. Playoffs, ? I got Bills, Dolphins, Jaguars, Bengals, Steelers. Bengals, because can Joe Burrow stay healthy? Bills, worried about their weapons. Dolphins, can Tua stay healthy? Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence has to take a step. And the Steelers, it's just like, yeah, they're always around there and good, but does that mean they're guaranteed to be a playoff team? No, it's almost for sure thing sometimes, but no. Probably not playoff teams. The Colts and the Raiders actually were very close to playoffs, ? And again, this will change as it goes on. So Colts and Raiders were close, and then I got Chargers and Titans, and then the Broncos were very close to get draft ready just because I don't think their roster is good enough yet, and then Patriots, though, are get draft ready. I absolutely get draft ready. So, yeah, those are my quarterback and then post-draft NFL tier rankings for teams and then the quarterbacks. Combat sports. Here we go. Usyk Fury this Saturday for the undisputed heavyweight title. This is a big one. This is what we've all been waiting for what feels like eternity, over a year. You know, differences upon contracts and injuries and, you know, having to take different fights because of organizations putting up, saying, oh, no, you need to fight this guy. I will say, no matter, you know, we're not going to go political here on Saudi Arabia, but man, have they been able to put together the big ones. And so I'm thankful for that we get to watch these big ones. You know, they've put together big fights. And especially in the heavyweight division, they've gotten big fights done. And, you know, this is going to be in the Kingdom Arena in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Main card will start about 2 p.m. Eastern, and the main event scheduled will walk around 6 p.m. Eastern. Man, what a fight this is going to be. So let's talk about a couple of these. Let's start with Alexander Usyk, who has three of the four, I believe. Yeah, he has three of the four. Fury has the one, the WBC. Alexander Usyk is coming off, you know, we'll go back to 2020. He beat Derek Chisora via decision, and then he fought for the WBA, the IBF, the WBO, and the IBO. So there's five titles, I guess. Sorry. He beat Anthony Joshua via decision. Then he fought Joshua again, which I thought Joshua fought much better in, but he was able to win via split decision. And then he fought Daniel Dubois in August of 2023, where I thought it was a borderline. He got hit with a body shot, and he claimed low blow. I don't know. That's not my choice, but he didn't look good in that fight to me. I didn't think he looked very good at all. But man, he's 21-0. Obviously a former cruiserweight, now heavyweight champion of the world. Let's see, his first heavyweight fight was this it? Was it against Chaz? Yeah, Chaz Witherspoon in 2019. He finished him at the end of round 7. And then he fought Chisora, and then he fought for the titles. You know, he only has fought five times at heavyweight. And he's going against, in my opinion, no matter what anyone wants to say about him, and I know people love to discredit him. Eddie Hearn says, oh, he's not an all-time great. Completely disagree. Tyson Fury, the Gypsy King, 6'9". He's done it all. I mean, going back, so he fought Klitschko in 2015, right? To win the WBA, the IBF, the WBO, the IBO, the Ring Magazine, and the Lineal Heavyweight Championship. He then had the about 2.5 years off where he got, you know, he was not doing good, you know, drugs, drinking heavily, and, you know, obviously he has, you know, battles with mental health. Came back, fought Safir Safari. And, you know, he won that, finished him at the end of round 4. Then he fought Francisco Pineda, didn't look great. It was a decision for 10 rounds. And then he stepped in there with Deontay Wilder. And going into that fight, I've always been a fan of Fury. He's entertaining, he's fun to watch. And I thought he beat Wilder clearly. I know he got knocked down twice. I still thought he beat Wilder clearly in that first fight. They called it a draw. Went on kind of a... You know, kind of did his own thing. Knocked out Tom Schwartz. Did have a tough fight with Otto Vilim, but he was able to get the job done. Then he fought Wilder for the WBC, the Ring, and Lineal Heavyweight title. He knocked out Deontay Wilder in the 7th. Then what was it about? A while later. Over a year, almost 2 years later, they rematched. Or not rematched, trilogy against Wilder. He knocked him out in the 11th. He was dropped twice in that fight. That fight was unreal. Then he fought Dillian White in April of 2022. Knocked him out with a nice uppercut. Then he fought Derek Chisora in December of 2022. Finished him in the 10th round. And then he fought Francis Ngannou and beat him via split decision to fight. In my opinion, I'll still say to this day that he did not take seriously and he looked like shit. And I think he'd be the first to tell you that. But he's 34-0-1. He's done it all in the sport, but one thing. Become the undisputed heavyweight champion. And here's his chance. Tyson Fury v. Usyk odds. And now here's his chance. To become the undisputed heavyweight champion. And I believe that he will. But let's check the odds and I'll give my prediction what I think is going to happen in this fight. So as of right now, this is via BetMGM. They're the only ones I can find here on Odds Checker. Fury's -110 to Usyk +100. I've already partaken in the bet. I got Fury at +110 about 4 weeks ago. I just didn't think the odds would ever rise above 110. I don't think they have. They're obviously moving in his favor as he's the favorite now. I just think he's going to be too big, and I think he knows what everyone's saying about how shit he looked against Francis Ngannou. In my opinion, he lost that fight, and I'm a huge Fury fan, but I'll say it. I think he lost that fight. I think he's gonna go in there, and I think he's gonna make it ugly, and I think he's gonna wear down on Usyk, and I actually don't think this sees the scorecards. I'm gonna go Tyson Fury via ninth round stoppage. I think that's how this fight ends. I think Fury stops Usyk in the ninth, and I think he gets it done. I just think he does, and I cannot wait for the fight, though. Again, there's nothing like an undisputed heavyweight title fight here. This is big time. This is big, big, big fight. But yeah, so that'll be Saturday. Again, their main event is scheduled to walk around 5 o'clock, 6 p.m. Eastern. Saudi's General Entertainment Authority willing to do whatever it takes to make Canelo Bud Crawford. They are eyeing December or January. Bud Crawford has a fight coming up. This is what I want to see, though. Terrence Crawford fights. Oh, it sounds like, yeah, what's the name? Okay. So he says, I can do whatever I want. Canelo says, I can do whatever I want, but Benavidez, Crawford, one of them should be next. Let's see. He is fighting Israel Madrimov on August 2nd. So that is a rumored fight, though. Canelo versus Terrence Crawford. Crawford daring to be great. And I'm here for it. I love it. I think it's tremendous. And I hope this fight happens. And like I said, Saudi's been great at getting the big ones done. So let's see if they can pull off a massive one. Over in MMA, we'll start off with what's next for UFC Fight Night St. Louis. So I just did a couple of the guys that got wins, big wins. You know, Sean Woodson beat Andre Feely. I like Sadiq Youssef or Nate Landwehr as his next opponent. Carlos Olberg, 12-second knockout of Alonzo Menifield. That was wild. Bogdan Guskov, who just beat Ryan Spann, or Vitor Petrino, who just lost his first fight against Anthony Smith. I think one of those two are great fights. Joquan Buckley got the fight in his hometown, took a scary opponent, was able to get it done, though. He called out Gilbert Burns. I love that idea. I also love Jeff Neal. I think that's an exciting fight. Derek Lewis gets the knockout. Are we surprised? Derek Lewis got the knockout. Jairzinho Rozenstruik has to be the fight. They haven't fought yet. They got to fight. These two got to fight, right? They have not fought. Unless I'm mistaken here. Let's look at it, though. I don't believe Derek Lewis and Jairzinho Rozenstruik have fought. And I don't understand. I think it's a match made in heaven. Yeah, they have not fought. I think it's a match made in heaven. I think that's got to be the next fight, is Derek Lewis versus Jairzinho Rozenstruik. I wouldn't mind a Tua Vasa rematch, but I think that's got to be the fight. It was a pretty good card, though, for a fight. It wasn't nothing crazy, but it was a good card. The crowd was electric. St. Louis will definitely get another one at some point in the future, so that was good for them. John Jones is interested in Alex Pereira after Stipe. Why it shouldn't happen fits for the belt. So, Morning Combat, combat sports podcast that I watched, Luke Thomas, Brian Campbell, they brought this up, and Luke Thomas went on a big rant. Why would this even be entertained, first off? Tom Aspinall has the interim title. I've come to the realization that, okay, it's fine. They're going to do Stipe Jones. That was booked originally, so I'm fine with them doing that. After Jones Stipe, Tom Aspinall should be fighting for the undisputed heavyweight title. I would expect John Jones to beat Stipe Miocic, right? If John wants to fight somebody else, he has to drop the title, in my opinion. He has to drop the title. Then they have to give the belt to Tom Aspinall. He's the undisputed champion. John Jones doesn't want to fight him. He wants to fight Alex Pereira. That's fine. Fight Alex Pereira. You guys can fight in a 5-round main event for no title. This isn't how it works, though. Tom Aspinall deserves it and needs to fight. He needs to be fighting for the undisputed heavyweight title next. No questions asked after Jones Stipe. If Stipe wins and wants to retire, okay, then Aspinall's a champ. If Jones wins and he wants to retire, or he wants to fight somebody else, okay, that's fine. But Aspinall's the champ. You have to fight Tom Aspinall. There's no ducking around it. So let's go over my top six fights that I'm looking forward to most that are booked, currently booked. At six, Muhammad Mukhaev and versus Manel Kopp flyweight fight at UFC 304, July 27th. This is a big one because I think the winner of this will probably get a title shot. Fresh blood for Pantoja, I believe. Manel Kopp may have faced Pantoja, I'm not sure, but I know Mukhaev hasn't. That fight is going to be awesome. I cannot wait for that one. Five, Sergey Pavlovich, Alexander Volkov. That's on UFC ABC 6 on June 22nd. Co-main event, I believe, on a big fight night on UFC ABC. Can Pavlovich bounce back? Volkov's looked good recently. That's a great fight. I really don't know who's going to win that one. I could see Volkov pulling off the upset. I could also see Pavlovich just running right through him. Four, Corey Sandhagen, Umar Nurmagomedov at UFC on ABC 7, August 3rd. I've always said this is a dumb fight for Corey. I've also thought about it as, well, Umar hasn't really faced a very, very tough opponent, in my opinion. What happens if this goes into deep waters? Maybe Corey's onto something. Maybe get Umar now and not get him in a year and a half. I love the fight, though. It's outstanding. It's going to be an amazing fight. Number three, Sean Strickland versus Paulo Costa, UFC 302 on June 1st. This fight is going to be absolutely insane. A big fight because I know Costa's, they're both coming off losses. Winner's going to jump right back in there in that title talk. So this is a huge fight for both men. Paulo Costa needs one badly. Strickland don't want to go on a two-fight losing streak. That's a big fight. Two, Robert Whittaker, Khamzat Chimaev. UFC on ABC 6, June 22nd, the main event, five rounds. This is going to tell you all you need to know about Khamzat Chimaev. Is he truly that good right now? Because if he runs through Robert Whittaker, we know. Can Robert take this into the deep end? Can he get this fight to go later? We saw Khamzat slow down a little against Usman in that fight, and that was only three. What if Robert can get it into the middle of the third, fourth, fifth round? That's what it's exciting about it. Number one, obviously, Conor McGregor, Michael Chandler, UFC 303, June 29th. Cannot wait. The Mac is back, running through Michael Chandler. Domination, I expect. I expect utter domination. I don't think this fight should be competitive. I think Conor McGregor should steamroll Michael Chandler on June 29th. And the Mac is back. Then we'll see what happens after that. But one at a time, take care of Michael Chandler, and we'll see what's next. All right, so let's get into some of my dynasty leagues, fantasy football. So, obviously, if people that don't know, dynasty leagues are, you do at the start of it, you do a full redraft, you draft your team, and then after that, that's your team. Obviously, you can make trades, cuts, pickups, but the year starts, you have the same roster. So, this league is a 10-man, and I like doing, these are really fun. Like, I have an 8-man league that we do as well, and that league's really fun, but this is a 10-man, one quarterback. Two running backs, two wide receivers, tight end, double flex. Quarterback is Josh Allen. I have running backs, I have Jahmyr Gibbs and Rashad White. Then I have Jefferson and Puka, Dalton Kincaid at tight end, Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave. So that's my starting lineups. Other guys on the team, Brock Purdy, David Montgomery, James Cook, Nico Collins, Jahan Dotson, traded for Kyle Pitts, Isaiah Likely, Roschon Johnson, Bryce Young. So here's how the draft went. This one was a couple weekends ago. It was the weekend before this last weekend. So about a little over a week ago. So I made some really good trades. I won the league. We're going on the third year of the league. I did not win the league the first year. I won it last year. So I had the 10th pick in this draft, but I had some really good trades where I ended with pick 3 and 4 also. So the start of the draft, it went Neighbors Odunze. Was shocked to see Odunze go second. So I got Malik Neighbors, jumped at it. I wanted to go Caleb, and then I wanted to go Caleb Rome for the future stack, but Malik Neighbors sitting there at 3. That's way too good a value. So then I had the number 4 pick. I traded it. I traded the number 4 pick to move back to 7. I also got Kyle Pitts and a future 3rd. I thought it was just a really good value. Take a chance on Kyle Pitts now that he has Kirk Cousins, and I only moved back 3 spots. And get a future 3rd. So at 7, the guy who traded up ended up taking Brock Bowers. At 10, went Caleb. Lab McConkey went 6. I then took Brian Thomas, who got drafted by Jacksonville at 7. At 8, I really needed some more. Or at 10, I really need some more running back depth. James Brooks went 8. I took Trey Benson. I think he has a really good chance of becoming a starter. I did not have any third and fourth rounders. I would trade those away for some future picks. But I got Xavier Leggett at the 2-3. And then at the 2-10, I just took a chance. Drake May was still there at the 2-10, so I nabbed him up. So he added to my young stack quarterback room. I ended up getting Drake May. So the draft that happened tonight was the Goodfellas League, 8-man. This is only going into the second year. Did not do good last year. My team was really beat up. My team's really good, though. This is a super flex. I have Mahomes, Barkley, A-Chain, Jefferson, Wilson, Laporta. It's super flex and tight end premium. Laporta, and then I have Kelsey, and then C.J. Stroud's my super flex. My other guys I got on the team are Aaron Rodgers, Madison, Rashad White, Isaiah Pacheco, Tyjae Spears, DeAndre Hopkins, Calvin Ridley, Hollywood Brown, T. Higgins, Tank Dell, and Sam Howell. Draft results. So this obviously happened just earlier. I had the number 2 pick. We had a blockbuster trade where I was able to get like the Chiefs basically and go crazy with quarterbacks. Go get Mahomes and Kelsey. And I think I got D-Hop in the trade as well and some future picks. So I ended up picking at 3, though. I've swapped picks. It's a 5-round rookie draft. So I didn't make any. I tried to trade on draft night. I was looking to kind of trade back. I wanted to trade up to 1 to get Caleb Williams. That wasn't going to happen. I then tried to trade back, but I ended up just nobody wanted to trade. So I took Malik Nabers. No good enough trades. I almost did move back, but it just didn't come to fruition. So I took Malik Nabers again at the 1-3. Then round 2, I took Xavier Worthy at the 2-3. So I also have Hollywood. Yeah, like I said, I have the Chiefs. So I got Xavier Worthy there, and then I was like, okay, rounds 3, 4, and 5. I really, really need to get some more running back depth, I feel. So I got Jalen Wright and Marshawn Lloyd at the 3-2 and 4-2. And then in round 5, I just swung. I took Jared Wiley, the rookie tight end for the Chiefs. I feel like my team, as long as we stay healthy, is going to be very, very, very good. Like I said, I have Mahomes and Stroud for super flex, and then I have Rodgers off the bench as my third quarterback for, you know, bye weeks or injuries happen. But I feel like my teams are really, really good. We obviously have the unedited league. I haven't talked about this. This is obviously just a keeper league. This will be the third year we do it. Obviously, we won't draft till close to the season. But yeah, I've won it 2 years in a row, I believe. I think. Let's see. I won the championship with 13-2 last year in the regular season. So, yeah, my team, very, very good. And then I won it the first year as well. So we're going on to the second year of that. Probably going to keep Josh Allen and CMC. I want to keep Puka very bad. It's going to be a tough decision. It is a super flex, so it's tough to not keep an elite quarterback when you have one. Probably would need to keep Josh Allen, but yeah, that's the unedited league. But here we go. Mock draft 1.0. Lottery only. Atlanta Hawks win the lottery. How insane is that? I have them taking Alexander Sarr, forward center, 7-1 out of France. Plays for Perth in Australia. Two, the Wizards, they stayed at their... At the top, Nikola Topic, 6'6 point guard out of Serbia. They just need a guy that can facilitate some offense and really run some offense with him. And I think he's just really good talent. Weak draft, obviously. Rockets at 3 flew up as well. I'm going Zachary Richard, the 6'9 small forward out of France. So I had the first 3 picks being overseas guys. At 4, let me get a quick drink. At 4, I got the Spurs taking Reed Sheppard, point guard out of Kentucky. I think he just fits the Spurs well. Knockdown shooter, good defender, can handle the ball. I think they need a guy like that. Pistons at 5, I went Donovan Klingon, the 7-2 center out of UConn. Hornets at 6, I love this guy, Stephon Castle, 6-6 guard out of UConn. I love his game. There are some guys I really like the Blazers at 7, Cody Williams, small forward out of Colorado. I like him a lot. And then this one for the Spurs, I really like. A guy that I think is going to be able to plug and play right away in the NBA. Dalton Kennect, the 6'6 small forward out of Tennessee. Grizzlies at 9, I'm going to go Jacoby Walter, the 6'5 shooting guard at Baylor. Good shooter, good athlete. I think that's that'd be a really good pickup there for the Grizzlies. Jazz at 10, I'm going Rob Dillingham, 6'3 point guard out of Kentucky. My worry for him is I don't know if he can be a true point guard and be a facilitator. That's my worry for him in the NBA. 11 Bulls, I'm going Matt Buzelis, the 6'11 forward out of the G League Ignite. Thunder at 12 via the Rockets go Ron Holland, forward, 6'8 forward out of the G League Ignite as well. Kings at 13, I think a backup center that could potentially be a starter at some point is a need for them. Their size, you know, their bench bigs are, you know, getting a little more up there and just not as good. I'm going Kyle Filipowski, the 7-foot center out of Duke. And the Blazers via the Warriors for their second pick. I'm going another wing. Tijan Soulon, the 6'9 small forward out of France. Good project, but I'm just going another wing for them. They have a ton of guards. Definitely could be a big pick. I could see a Yves Miesi or potentially a Zach Edey in there. But, yeah, like I said, it's not a very good draft. I could see the Hawks moving out of that pick possibly and trying to go get a stud. But, yeah, I'm not thrilled. I'm not very high on this draft, but there's still guys that I like, and I have hope that could turn out to be good pros. But, yeah, so that'll do it for Unedited. We should be back. It'll be Wednesday or Thursday just because I'm busy on Friday and Saturday this coming weekend. It'll be Wednesday or Thursday we'll have KB and the Boys episode 5. Yeah, me and Carter need a bounce back. They're plus 8.49. We're minus 1.57, so we need a big bounce back this coming week. But yeah, that's going to do it for Unedited. Again, cannot wait for the Fury fight. We'll definitely be talking more NBA playoffs next week as we probably will be into the conference finals or close to it. But yeah, appreciate all the support. Love you all. And we'll talk to you later this week and Unedited back early next week. Thank you guys for listening again. Peace.